Okay, I guess the first thing you want to hear about is Bin Laden, okay? So we'll do that because it's supposedly the biggest piece of news that we've got right now. So the first question, I think Richard Serrett was on last night and they asked me on the show what I thought about the scene about Bin Laden. You know, they killed him in Pakistan, then they flew him to Afghanistan, then they dropped him in the ocean. And they even dropped him in the ocean before the DNA results came back. They didn't come back till 4 o'clock today. So this is the script. And they asked me last night, what do you think about this, all the Bin Laden and what happened? And I said, well, if you believe that, you'll buy my watch.
Well, you believe the birth certificate.
Yes, you will. Oh, I don't even care about the birth certificate. His grandmother, three, 4 years ago, said I was there when he was born. Of course, he was born in Kenya. 2 days later, she died. But, of course, he was born in Kenya, so that's another script. Oh, poor old Arnie Schwarzenegger couldn't run for president because he was a foreigner. So he must be saying, what the hell? You know, what's going on? So about the Bin Laden thing, and the Americans are dancing in the streets, so they say. 50% of them, or maybe 60%, are not, because they're thinking the same as I'm thinking. Why would he have been dropped in the sea? They said because nobody would accept his body. However, those people who wouldn't accept his body are now, they want vengeance. They're going to get vengeance for doing away with him. But wouldn't they have accepted his body then? Come on. If you're expecting logic from this script, forget about it. And of course, they didn't get the results of the DNA. Supposedly, we will never see it. And there could have been other reasons, if it indeed happened. There could be other reasons for dropping him in the drink. It wasn't his body. Or it was his body, but it had been in the deep freeze so long, it just turned to mush. Or his body was so damaged and in such a sad state from tortures and whatever that they didn't want anyone to see it. But either way, it doesn't matter. It does not matter whether he died, he didn't die, how he died, who killed him. None of this matters because he and the Arabs had nothing to do with 9/11. So who gives a damn when or how or where he died or if? It doesn't matter. It's all based on the big lie that he was the mastermind of 9/11. What utter drivel. Drivel. You can't dignify it with anything but drivel. Now everybody's talking about Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. Let me tell you what Al-Qaeda is. Al-Qaeda was a computer base. When Bin Laden was leading the Afghanis against Russia and helping the U.S. Give Russia its own Vietnam, he and the CIA met on that computer base. Al-Qaeda means the base. That's it. So the CIA, of course, he was one of their assets. The Bin Laden family have been in business with the Bush family for decades. His brothers, the whole family, they were flown out of the United States, the whole family, the day after 9/11, when not one other plane was allowed in the sky, they were all flown out. They're in business with the Bushes. Huge construction company. Oh, but what do they say? That all the hijackers on the planes that went through the tower were Saudis. Had their pictures up the next day. So even though the Saudis are their friends, okay, they made these hijackers Saudis. They were already setting up their next enemy. The United States has a habit of setting up its next enemy. China's carrying all the American debt. They're building China up now. We're buying cheap crap. A lot of it contaminated. Our jobs are all gone. This is a corporate ruled planet. Please understand that. It's not about loyalty or your country or your nation or anything. It's about this whole thing that's going on is, first of all, to save the most crooked money system on the globe. We are being drained. All our assets are being taken over globally by a banking system that is crooked. I'm with the Committee on Monetary and Economic Reform for years and years. If you don't understand the principle that a private group is printing the money for every nation on this globe, and when they print it, they charge each government interest. This is what's killing and draining this planet of its life's blood. Now, after the huge fiasco, where one congressman said, let it fail. Let's go back to each government producing its own money, printing its money free of interest. Lincoln did it. And all kinds of presidents, of course, I told you, were assassinated because they wanted to put the money back in the public hands with no interest on it. And they're trying to save, this is all going on trying to save that crooked system. It depends on wars, it has to depopulate. Because the system itself cannot support a normal population on the earth. So they have to blame the population, say it's their fault, there's too many. I could put the whole, well, not myself, but the whole population on this earth now would fit onto Rhode Island. Yes, shoulder to shoulder, but it would fit. And the people who are saying we have to depopulate are the same people who run this crooked money system. That's the only way it can keep on going. They'll do anything to save it. They will have wars, depressions, killing as many as they can, grabbing resources. So it's nothing to do with anything that's got any humanity in it. It's about saving this system. So that's what Al-Qaeda, and they're still Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. The Mujahideen, which fought bin Laden's people, the Mujahideen, which fought with the Americans and the Afghanis to get out the Russians, now they've become the Taliban. Now they're bad. Same with the Saudis. The Saudis are good when it comes to business, but then they were the ones named that were on the planes. Number one, the planes were, there was nobody on the planes. They were done by satellite. They were guided by satellite. It was like the Indian fakir, you know. Everybody was looking up at the planes. And while they were looking up at the planes, at buildings 5 and 6 were detonated. The bombs in 5 and 6 were detonated. You can see it at the bottom while everyone was looking up. Second plane came through, buildings 5 and 6, which had already been robbed. All the files from the SEC were taken the night before, and the gold or whatever was in the vault the night before. And as people watched up at the second plane, these two buildings were exploded. The bombs were set off exactly when the second plane went through. So that's what happened there. And the people who know that, there's 3 or 4 now that are hiding out in South America. Yes, they know that. And FEMA was in the day before, September 11th, they were in on the 10th. They took all that stuff out with trucks the night before. There's tunnels. You could just go in, drive it all out, no big deal. And who made, and so we have to do another investigation now because I'll be doing a 9/11 class. I do one every term, and it is on video. But I will be doing one this term about buildings 5 and 6, and it won't be the usual forensic investigation. We've done over and over and over and over DVDs on the forensics. In other words, the method, how it was done. Now let's finish the investigation. Any normal police investigation after a killing or any kind of massacre, 3,000, yes. Who benefits? Who had the means? Who had the opportunity? Not one 9/11 investigation has considered that. That's the other half of the investigation, or it isn't one. Okay, we know. It's like finding the knife or the gun at the murder scene. Okay, we know how, and then saying, okay, that's the end of it. Let's go home. Investigation over. We know how. But nonsense. Nonsense. So now the people who ran this scam are getting worried because too many people are getting too close to the truth. Who did it? Who made the money on it? Who's got all the SEC records? Who did all the put options? Who made the billions on 3,000 deaths? Nobody wants to do that because they'll be threatened immediately. They'll have to leave. So that's the next part of the investigation we have to concern ourselves with. And they know that. So that's why Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda. Oh, and the second thing, isn't it wonderful now? Those people who didn't want his body, no, the hero, his own people, didn't want the body, but they want vengeance. Another illogical mock-up. So now they can ratchet up the whole security. I don't go through airports, I don't care, ships, buses, whatever, I won't take a plane because it's very cancer-causing. Businessmen will have cancers like you wouldn't believe. So, and of course the guy that owns all these scanning machines is Chertoff, who was head of the Homeland Security. Business is business. It's a corporately run world. And governments do what the corporations tell them. That used to be called fascism. It's still fascism. They bombed Gaddafi again. About 10 years ago, they bombed his house and killed his granddaughter in the crib. This time, I heard it two nights ago, they killed his son and his three grandchildren. And then I never heard another word. So getting Bin Laden, they have to do something. You know, the weapons of mass distraction have to be brought out. So now they're using poor old Bin Laden because there's a big cover-up on what actually happened to Gaddafi's family. And you have to remember that the Americans are no longer, they no longer have a constitution as they had when they started up. And they've bombed 27 countries since World War II. 27 countries. So there you have it. And I haven't heard another word about Gaddafi's family at all. But he won't. He's not going to leave till the last bullet, trust me. Because they've been so awful to him. And they're using DU, of course, in Libya. They are covering that whole area with DU. That will do away with the population. They'll all get raging cancers, and that'll be that. And of course, just apropos of what we're talking about today, Gaddafi, now this is in 2009. I've got it here. Gaddafi at the UN on September 23rd stated, swine flu is the result of military war labs experiments. They don't like him for that either. He's blowing the whistle, you know, on these things they're doing. So they have good reason not to like Gaddafi. So the radioactive dust is falling on Tokyo, and our radiation has gone up 9% here. If you have a Geiger counter, you can check on that. And on May the 8th, I think, they said on Richard Serrett, they're having Dr. Apsley on about the radiation. So Sunday, May the 8th, you might want to listen to that at 11 p.m. They promised to have him on. They were going to have him on last night, but the Bin Laden story just knocked everything off the news, the papers. It was just the biggest story. Oh, here's another little article, because we'll be talking about this today. They've just found out that the chimps who are tested with various drugs and things, And they get depressed and start to mutilate themselves, you know, like the kids who cut themselves. Well, anybody, chimp, whatever, who is tormented, and the psychiatric drugs and the testing, yes, even the chimp will get depressed, okay? And of course, the vaccine makers get away with murder, literally. And they pay off the courts, the judges, what have you. And whenever there's a massacre or something awful happens, some guy with a gun or whatever, they never open the medical file. The big pharma will not allow you to see what that person has been on, is on, or is coming off of. Never. The medical file's never open because of big pharma. They don't want you to know that. And they're still, it's testing people. We're all guinea pigs. That's all they do. And they get a lot of money for doing it. So now they've got another vaccine. There's a nice title. It's on the net called Who Murdered Africa, meaning who. And now they have another vaccine to stop fertility. However, what else it does to you, they will not say. The side effects. They're just testing everybody. We are all guinea pigs. They come out with all these things. It's disgusting. Here's the Finnish health minister a while ago. I saved this a few months ago. She said, this woman said, Finland, Dr. Keldi was her name, and she said the vaccines are meant for population reduction. Yes, they are. They are. That's what they're for. Then I did an article, remember SARS? I did an article on SARS back in, I can't even see the date on this. Anyway, I was backed up. I had references from two specialists, two of them in Toronto. I took it down to the SARS Commission. The article was already out in the paper. I took it down. I had a bunch of them, and all the radio stations were there, and the SARS Commission, another joke, okay? So I took it there. I put it on every media table. They watched me, and then they came up to me and said, you have to take these out, and you have to leave now. So I said, I'm not leaving. These are facts. It's already out in the paper, not your papers, but the one I work for, Discourse and Disclosure. So I took it back in and I handed it out. But of course, not one of the media was allowed to use it. So then I have another, this is another free paper, free press. This is the Rock Creek Free Press from 2009. Vaccines are biological weapons. Yes, they are. Yes, they've always killed people. They have never saved anybody. No one. All right? Vaccines are biological weapons. The WHO can make vaccines mandatory. Yes, they can. And the papers you've got down there today tell you why, okay? If you look at pages 10 and 11, you will see why they're allowed to do that. And they work with Big Pharma, who works with all the drug companies. And here's another little piece. Cancer linked to a vaccine you probably had as a child. This is not going to be a happy day here because a lot of people here may have gotten the polio vaccine. I didn't because I was out of the country at the time, and my kids didn't because I wouldn't allow it. And that was a long time ago. So there's 60 lab studies confirming this. It's sad news, but there it is, okay? And a lot of them were made at Merck. George Bush, of course, is involved in the stocks of Merck. And, yes. When we get into the history of the vaccines, you will realize they have never saved one person. In fact, it's been the opposite. And now about the AIDS. I have this document here from 1969. When, and it was given to me by Donald Scott years and years ago. They investigated this. And it was a hearing before a subcommittee of the Committee of Appropriations, U.S. House of Representatives. And this group asked for the funding to invent a virus that no one's immune system could defend against. And they got the funding. AIDS was a man-made virus. Yes. And that's the committee. Those are the documents from when they asked for that money. So when the WHO and the CDC want to start, you know, pandemic, everybody, people have to live in constant fear now. Terrorism, pandemics, God, I don't know what next we're going to have to worry about. So the best thing is to realize it's all a big show. Very bad actors. I mean, they can't even act properly. I mean, it's so clumsily done. And this is what people have to go through now. So just let it brush off. So these little tidbits you've got on page 11 here, the WHO has the ability to say, they can pick any virus and say it's a pandemic because they changed the rules about pandemics. Pandemics no longer need to be killing off thousands. All they need to say it's a pandemic is that it's a lot of infections. They don't care if you get over it or you don't. As long as it's a lot of infections, they can do this. You've got it on page 11 there. They changed the criteria. So instead of being widespread death, it only has to be widespread infections. Then, this is what happens. As soon as they declare a pandemic, and the big pharma is backing them, they can put out all the untested vaccines they want. And if something dreadful happens when you get them, they're not liable. And you've got the other paper down there, the first page. They've now made a law in the United States that even children who have suffered, who are damaged from vaccines, who have autism, who are crippled, whatever, they cannot sue any drug company. They have no recourse anymore. Even if the child is dead, crippled, doesn't matter. The courts have been bribed by Big Pharma to end that whole thing, so there's no recourse anymore, even if you have a dead child. So that's what they have done. So as I said, these people are not about saving anybody's life. They are about making money on testing you, getting paid money while you might possibly die, and you have no recourse to sue them for anything. Now, I might as well show you this. I'm also going to, you might want to get this from me. Here it is. Right here, I haven't got enough papers to do this, but if anyone wants this, all these pages, I can just get them copied. Well, this gives you the name of the 100 or more bioweapons experts who have died, how they died, and how, when, why, where. All these people working on these bioweapons, as soon as they've done their job, they're killed off. Now, if anyone wants this, they can put their name on a list later. And it's just a toonie. So if you want to leave me a toonie and put your name on the list, I'll bring them next week, okay? This is the complete list. And it's added to every day. This list is going on. And so if you want that, just get in touch with me. With the toonie. Now, if I can see this, I don't know what I did with my glasses. I do. They're over here. I'm just going to give you a little piece of information to let you know how this goes. And nobody has time to investigate all this, except maybe retired people or people that have done what I've done all my life. This is just a sample here. I typed up this little sample. Immune experts, bioscientists, bioweapons designers being killed off. Ebola expert on the bridge. Schwartz, DNA sequencing, dead on a bridge. Wiley, 19 scientists since November 12, 2006, three prominent Israeli scientists, plane crash. Scientists working on a doomsday version of smallpox died in Australia. Five Israeli microbiologists die on the way to Russia. Biovaccine weapons designer stabbed, San Francisco. More biologists dead. Astrobiological biologists struck by car while jogging. Spanish flu expert killed, bringing back viruses. I told you, I was at a meeting at this university about 10 years ago, very small meeting. I forget now who told me about it. And the leader of this expedition up to Norway, Finland, wherever, they dug up the bodies in ice from the 1918 flu. And of course, they took tissue from these bodies. One group actually mailed it in the mail back to the States. The 1918 flu tissue. Okay, and now the reason, and I said there, I said, why the hell would anybody want to do that? Leave them in the ice. I mean, they'll be in the ice until, oh, maybe May 21, when we're all supposed to go, when the earth melts or whatever the hell it's supposed to do. But I said, why are you getting this? You know the reason they gave me? Well, just so we'll know what to do if it happens again. That's the reasoning I got, all right? So they all went up there to dig this stuff up. Now, some of those are people are already not with us anymore, okay? See, Spanish flu expert killed, bringing back viruses for 1918 flu. So where did his little package go, all right? And here's a nice little article. The Idaho Observer and the editor of that got a very fast-acting cancer, and he didn't know about it, but maybe 3 months after he knew about it, he was gone, okay? And he wrote one of these articles. Vaccine may be more dangerous than the swine flu. See, flu or no flu. The WHO, the CDC, set to launch swine flu pandemic. That's the kind of stuff he wrote. So you either meet with a happy accident or something else happens to you. So what we're going to do now is go through the history of vaccines. Nobody ever talks about how they started, what they do, and why they make people so sick and kill them, actually. So we'll just start. In the early 1700s, okay, they had this bright idea. Now, you've seen those films and Huckleberry Finn and all that. When two kids, well, let's be blood brothers, you know, they cut their hands and they put them together, you know, now we're blood brothers. That's what they did in the first vaccines. In the 1700s, thinking it would work, okay, they mixed the blood of a plague victim or a smallpox survivor with the blood of an untested person, okay, hoping, in other words, they put cuts in their arms and then they held the cuts together. They didn't have any needles then, so this is what they did. And they were hoping that it would work. So now, did it work? Let me read you this on a tombstone. In 1788, this was on a tombstone and it was in the Lancet. Here, I'm quoting it. In memory of Peleg, son of Thomas and Mary Conklin, who died of the smallpox by inoculation. January 27, 1788, age 17. So he obviously was one of these people that was cut. And so right on the tombstone. So the Lancet in 1996 had a photograph of the tombstone, and it was called an old malpractice claim. So we're looking at testing with this first idea and people dying of it. There was no success. Now, we come along to 1837. And, oh, sorry, not 1837. Got that wrong. 1796. Edward Jenner. You've all heard his name. Edward Jenner. Now, he had another idea. He pierced the skin. It doesn't say needle. He pierced the skin with a cowpox-tainted instrument, whatever that instrument was. Could have been an old darning needle or something. He pierced the skin with it and thought that that was going to work, okay? To guard against smallpox, that didn't work because nothing was known about viruses then. Even when they discovered antibiotics, antibiotics don't work with viruses. Viruses are old, billions of years old. And it's a virus. So they knew nothing about viruses until much later with Pasteur, okay? So that didn't work. And so in 1837, now remember, it didn't work. 1837 to 39, Jenner, by doing this, he kept doing this, Jenner increased the smallpox to an epidemic of 23,000 dead. It was never epidemic, okay? So in that, he gets 23,000 dead from piercing the skin with whatever he was doing, all right? There is nothing in vaccine history that ever says it saved anybody. In fact, when we get to the end of this, it'll be quite appalling because they've reached the peak now. So, and then after he did that, in 1853, like I say, we'll never learn. We don't learn, so we are special ed. In 1853, it was compulsory vaccinations in England. Oh, what a record. Okay, compulsory vaccination. Wow. Here you go. Right? Now, between 1870 and 72, 2 years, all right? 44,480 vaccinated people died. Ones who weren't vaccinated survived. 480 died. And they had to take it. It was compulsory. Okay. Well, remember around this time, too. Remember, around this time, the medical profession didn't even wash their hands. Women, the midwives were got rid of when they burnt them all at the stake and called them witches early on. Every healer in a village was called a witch, burnt at the stake, 3 million, so that men could take over the medical thing. So then, in the Victorian era, women were scared to death when they were pregnant. They knew they'd probably die. So they'd go into the hospital and they would die of infection. So when Semmelweis, whom they persecuted till his dying day, he said to them, wait a minute, you can't come from a cadaver in an autopsy room and take those hands into a woman's room and while she's giving birth, put those same hands into the birth canal. They were doing that. The Greeks, the Romans, knew much better than these Victorian doctors. So women were dying in the droves when they didn't have a midwife. The midwife knew enough to boil things, wash your hands, whatever. No, they were that stupid. So even Semmelweis, who, you know, the germ theory came along later, but it was common sense. Wash your hands. They don't even do it today. I've seen articles in the paper where they've caught them not washing their hands. So that's what they were doing. So Semmelweis said, you can't do that anymore. Well, they persecuted him. They drove him till he died, till his dying day. That's how stupid they were. And of course, until Harvey, they didn't even think that blood circulated. Doctors did not know blood circulated until the middle of the 18th century, Harvey. They thought when you sat in a chair, the blood all sank where you sat, like you were dead. That's what happens when you're dead. The blood just goes to the lowest part of the body and you start turning blue and green. No, they didn't know blood even circulated. And they didn't once think of the Greek Hippocrates, first do no harm. They don't even think of that today. First do no harm, that's the first thing. So anyway, these all died, all right? And between, let me think now, and the people at the time fought the vaccine, just like we're doing now. They fought the vaccine. Okay? That was 1870, 72, around the same time they were putting their filthy hands up into a birth canal, all right? Now, in 1882, a doctor named Robert K-O-C-H, I think it was Koch or whatever, Robert Koch, then, developed the germ theory, and Pasteur followed it up and proved that there were germs, okay? However, the one thing they didn't realize, because they didn't know enough, there are germs all over the place. But if your immune system is working, you don't get anything from it. There's germs everywhere. They didn't know that then. So Pasteur, of course, the whole thing was about the germ, not about your immune system. They didn't have a clue. So in 1882, that's what happened then. And of course, germs can only invade when your immune system is weak. But they didn't know that. They thought it was all the fault of the germs. Okay, so let's get the germs, all right? And then in 1910, now here's a really good one. Remember, it's still killing people. In 1910, now get this, 8 million people in the Philippines, all right? 95% of the population were given. Now this is what they were given. 8 million were given 24,500,000 doses of smallpox vaccine. That is three doses plus for each person. Three, all right? What happened? They had the worst smallpox epidemic in history. And 95% of the people were inoculated. So of course it was from the vaccines. Of course. They did that in the Philippines, okay, 1910. That's why I'm calling it murder in the first. Murder in the first degree is not like hitting someone in a rage, okay? There's second degree, then there's manslaughter. Murder in the first means you plan it, you are going to profit from it, and you do it.